This is WKNR 13.
10 minutes after 6 on the Gary Stevens Show.
Peter Gold on the green scene.
I don't really have too much understanding what I am doing here at Radio Wonderful yet.
This must be the place.
This is the only place here.
More of the Jerry Goodwin Show on Keener 13, WKNR.
Now, with more music, Pat St. John.
Dick Harton.
Ted Clark.
Mike Ward.
Scott Berger.
WKNR presents
the Keener13.com podcast.
Welcome to the Keener 13 podcast. I'm Scott Westerman, and this week, Bob Baldori and the Woolies. The story of one of Detroit's almost famous garage bands who rode the Keener wave and wrote their own page in the history of rock and roll. That's all ahead on this week's Keener podcast.
Motor City Music.
Many young musicians with a dream, Bob, Jeff, Bee, and Stormy, were inspired by the blue-collar rock and roll that was exploding out of the WKNR transmitters in 1964. Influenced by the legendary blues men that crept into Detroit on the skywaves of stations like Nashville's WLAC, the quartet soon put their own two cents into the mix, calling themselves the Woolies. At the center of the maelstrom was Bob Baldori, a versatile writer, keyboard player, and blues harmonica virtuoso. The Baldori family was somewhat of a legend in Detroit. Bob's mother was a big band singer, and his father was one of the top trumpet players in the Midwest. Brother Jeff, although only 14, was already an accomplished guitar player. Growing up in Dearborn, the Baldori brothers were huge Keener fans, and despite being underage, Bob was occasionally able to sneak into the hot Motor City clubs where Michigan rock was being born.
We snuck into the Gay Haven when I was underage, and me and a buddy somehow managed to pay somebody and sneak into the back row.
Coming to the Gay Haven, Friday night. The great sound of Johnny Gibson. That's right, Johnny Gibson and his band appearing at the Gay Haven on Warren, just east of Greenfield. All Stag Girls admitted absolutely free. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, dancing in the Key Room. Friday and Saturday night, dancing in the big main room at the Gay Haven.
Channeling the energy of Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, and Muddy Waters, the band soon developed a cult following in their hometown of Dearborn and it was a talent contest that provided the opportunity for Bob Baldori and the Woolies to head to the left coast.
It was completely accidental. I mean, we won that Vox Band of the Land contest in Dearborn. Well, it started out at the Dearborn Music Store, and then it ended up at the State Fair or somewhere. So it was just a big promo for Vox, and then part of the deal was supposed to be a recording contract. Well, that was all sort of my vague memories of it, where it wasn't bona fide. But they did fly us to Hollywood and put us up at the Roosevelt Hotel. And we had been recording. In fact, we'd done that Black Crow Blues and Morning Dew and a bunch of other things the year before in Chicago.
Well, I woke in the morning one, weary and worn out.
Few other gave us offers because they liked the material, and we were a little bit different than what was walking around out there. But Lou was the only one that could get us recorded before school started. My brother was 14, and he had to come back to high school. And that was why we ended up signing with him.
Lou was Lou Adler, one of L.A.'s most prominent musical entrepreneurs. He and Herb Alpert were early managers of a fledgling Jan and Dean. And under the pen name of Barbara Campbell, Lou wrote Sam Cooke's million seller, Only 16.
She was only 16. I loved her so, but she was 16. Too young to fall 16. In love, and I was too young to know.
Bob and the Woolies found recording for Adler's Dunhill Records, home of Barry McGuire, Scott McKenzie, and the Mamas and the Papas, to be a clash of musical cultures.
And you can hear it in that CD. There are certain cuts on that CD that are definitely California, or sort of, they came out of the atmosphere and the ethos and the world when we spent time out of there. But it was a clash because our background was in blues, rhythm and blues, backbeat rock and roll, the Midwestern sound. And California was a much lighter, you know, it was the new age. I think we went to the first Bean in Los Angeles when we were out there, which was, you know, one of the original gatherings of hippies and people that were experimenting with LSD and all that stuff.
All the leaves are brown.
One of the reasons we didn't follow up better was Lou jumped the label. He dropped Dunhill and went to Ode right in the middle of our contract, and he tried to take us with him, and he ended up fighting with Jay Lasker, who became president or was president of Dunhill, and I ended up caught in between those two.
But Lou Adler learned a thing or two from the Woolies. And as the band packed up to return to the Midwest, the raw Michigan influence came through loud and clear in the music of another Ode artist.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way. Yeah, darling, go make it happen. Take the world in a loving embrace. Fire all of your guns and pumps and explode into space.
Meanwhile, back in the Motor City, WKNR FM disc jockey Russ Gibb had an idea for a concert venue that would showcase the increasingly electric evolution of rock and roll. And when it came time to open the Grandy Ballroom, the Woolies were there.
We opened the Grandy Ballroom, and there's posters. I think I have one hanging in here somewhere commemorating that event with the MC5.
Kick out the jams, brothers and sisters! Now!
Detroit. I mean, that's where the majority of our gigs were. Anyway, we were working with Punch Andrews, who I just talked to the other day. He had the Hideouts and the Palladium, and there are a whole bunch of venues. I remember the first gig I worked with Ted Nugent was at a place called The Mump, and I think it was on the day that place opened. And I remember, and nobody knew who he was at the time, and I saw him and he just killed me. I really liked it. And I went back to the dressing room and grabbed her. I said, "You gotta come out here and see this guy."
Leave your cares behind. Come with us and find the pleasures of the journey to the center of the mind. Come along if you care. Come along if you dare. Take a ride to the land inside of your mind.
No story of the Woolies is complete without the incredible tale of how they became Chuck Berry's favorite backup band.
Riding along in my automobile, my baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile, my curiosity running wild. cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go.
It was 64 or 5 or 6, right in that era, and he was booking himself, showing up with his amp and a guitar, and he was playing 5 and 6 nights a week at places, and that's what he got booked into the Dells, which was a roadhouse on Lake Lansing, a huge place. The owner was a friend of mine. I went out on the first night. Chuck has this, he says, when you book Chuck Berry, you get me, the guitar, and the duck walk. And then he's got a rider that requires the local promoter to provide the backup band. And Joe Odie, who was the local promoter, had hired a psychedelic act to open the show and then to back Chuck up. Well, they just didn't hit it off. I mean, from the first number, it was a disaster. And Joe saw me in the audience and came running over. We had these problems. Can you back Chuck up? Can you play with him? And the band took a break, and Chuck came into the dressing room, and I said, sure. They didn't want to work with him anymore, and he didn't want to work with them. And I happened to be there with my band and finished the show with him.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there stood a log cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good, who never ever learned to read or write so well, but he could play a guitar just like a ringing a bell. Go, go!
Into the dressing room. We've never rehearsed with him. I mean, then or through now. But he looks at me. He's got his guitar, and he goes, "Well, when I say this, you say this. Don't change on the 5, and that's it." And he walked out. And then he looked back, and he goes, "Syncopate." I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And then we're playing, and he's walking over to me. He's going, "Syncopate." But I got it. He taught me how to syncopate. And after that, by the end of the week, he was asking me if we'd travel with him. I negotiated with him to be his band. And then he backed into his mode, where I started working with William Morris, and essentially they recommended us to the promoter, and I negotiated my own deal. But even through today, if the promoter knows what he's doing, he'll hire me, and if he wants to go on the cheap, he'll hire a couple local guys.
His mother told him, "Someday you will be a man, and you will be the leader of a big old band. Many people coming from miles around to hear you play your music when the sun go down. Maybe someday your name will be in lights, and Johnny B. Good tonight. Go, 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 Johnny, go. 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 Go, Johnny B. Good."
In various incarnations, the Woolies have enjoyed a 40-year career. And along the way, Bob Baldori completed a bachelor's at Michigan State, earned a law degree, wrote a musical about 60s rock and roll called I'm Nearly Famous, and has produced over 200 albums and CDs. He still lives near East Lansing and is still playing dates in North and South America. Although there have been some personnel changes, the Woolies have remained relatively intact over the years. Even Stormy Rice, who left briefly to pursue a solo career, is often back in the fold. Fans of Detroit's Woodward Dream Cruise can see the Woolies perform live at the event. And even after 4 decades, when you ask Midwest baby boomers, "Who do you love?" there's still but one answer: the Woolies.
Molly grabbed me by my hand. She says, "Cool me, Stormy. You're my man. Who do you love? Yeah. Who do you love? Come on now. Who do you love? Who do you love?"
And And that's this week's Keener Podcast. Our thanks to Bob Baldori, the Lansing Renaissance man, for sharing his story. You can find out more about Boogie Bob and order a newly remastered CD of Great Woolies music online right now at www.boog.com. Send us your requests and feedback by clicking the contact link at Keener13.com. The Keener 13 podcast is licensed by ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC. And we use those great PAMS jingles courtesy of Jonathan Wolford at Jam Creative Productions. John has just released a 10-CD box set featuring every package ever made by the legendary Dallas Jingle Company. Find out more about this must-have collector's item online at jingles.com. We're back again next week with more Keener Magic. But before we go, let's hear one more Michigan rocker who debuted on the WKNR Music Guide the very same week that the Woolies, Who Do You Love, was flirting with the top of the charts. And thank you for making every season Keener season. I'm Scott Westerman.
Without the written consent.